Knowing how to speak and understand a new language can be an invaluable tool when traveling, meeting new friends, or just even to master a new skill. But it's not always simple when you're bogged down by textbooks and structure classes. That's why so many people trust Rosetta Stone. Rosetta Stone is the most trusted language learning program, available on desktop or as an app. It truly immerses you in the language you want to learn, like Spanish, French, Italian, Chinese, and more. You won't just be studying English translations. The Rosetta Stone intuitive process helps you pick up a language naturally, first with words, then phrases, then sentences. Don't put off learning that language. There's no better time than right now to get started. For a very limited time, listeners can get Rosetta Stone's lifetime membership for 50% off. Visit rosettastone.com/rs10. That's 50% off unlimited access to 25 language courses for the rest of your life. Redeem your 50% off at rosettastone.com/rs10 today.
Good morning and a Merry Christmas Eve to everyone listening who celebrates. It is Friday, December 24th. You are listening to the College Football Daily. My name is Lance Glynn. On today's episode, I'm going to throw it to a conversation Blair Angulo and I had on the football recruiting podcast earlier this week. We handed out some signing day superlatives, best class, best finish, most disappointing class, and many more. But before I do that, I just want to fill everyone in on the bowl schedule for today. Only one bowl game on the docket. That's it. The Hawaii Bowl taking place out there in Honolulu. Memphis takes on Hawaii in that one at 8 p.m. Eastern. So with that out of the way, time to hand out some awards. Here's my conversation with Blair Angulo. Blair, how we doing? Let me ask you something. Are you dressed in your best tuxedo, ready to give out some awards?
Oh yeah, man. I got it. I got the pocket square going. I even have a tie bar on my tie. I slick back the hair, wear a little cologne. I'm excited. You know, this is the time when awards get sent out. The Heisman and all that has been handed out already, but let's hand out some early signing day awards.
So let's jump right into it. I want to let everyone know how this works. We have five categories we will run through. Each award has a fun name to it, some sports related, some not. Blair will announce the winner. I'll chime in with an honorable mention here and there, and then we'll move on to the next one. So let's start with our first superlative, the Merry Flipmas Award for the biggest signing day flip. Blair, I think there's one that stands out above the rest. Who is the winner of this category?
Yeah, I wish Lane Kiffin would have given us a reason to give Ole Miss an award here. That's an ode to, you know, the sweater that he wore in 2020. And I think he even started to bring it up in 2019 where it said Merry Flipmas and he was out there trying to recruit some prospects. But this is, you know, a no-brainer. This is not a shock to anyone. Travis Hunter flipping from Florida State to Jackson State and Deion Sanders on National Signing Day. And it was just the most shocking thing that you can think of, right? The number one player in the country committing to a historically black college and university. And it's one of those things where I think it goes beyond just football and it goes beyond, you know, making a splash on the field. I think this has the potential to be a trend setting moment and one that we will remember for a long time. I think that's why it's so significant. It's the fact that a player of his caliber is saying no to big time Power Five football and is paving his own path. And in this new era and this new age of name, image, and likeness, and, you know, kind of developing your own brand and marketing yourself, this makes sense for a lot of different reasons. And the director of recruiting for 24/7 Sports, Steve Wilfong, will also like to add that, you know, this is a program who, you know, was 11-1 at the time of Travis Hunter flipping from Florida State. They had a lot of attendance this season, I think over 40,000 per game. So, you know, this was beyond that, but I think the big moment and the big reason why he's making this choice is to really capitalize on kind of the potential for him to really blow up before he turns professional.
Yeah, absolutely. And look, while Travis Hunter from Florida State to Jackson State not only wins this year, frankly, probably wins the all-time award, the flip I wanted to throw in came actually on the final day of the early signing period, and that is Miami and Mario Cristobal flipping four-star tight end Jaleel Skinner from Alabama, giving Mario his first win on the trail as Miami head coach over Nick Saban. And I'm sure Miami fans hope it's the first of many. All right, on to the second superlative we go. This is the Record Breaker Alert Award for the best class. And look, this is another obvious winner, Blair. This is a team that did something not many have done this past decade, a decade filled more often than not with Alabama or Georgia at the top. Who takes it home for you this year?
It's A&M. Texas A&M right now is pacing to have the best recruiting class ever. right? Like, and that's saying a lot given some of the classes that we've seen roll through with Alabama, Ohio State pushing there. Georgia's had some amazing classes, but A&M, you know, from the top to bottom is putting together, you know, one of the most impressive recruiting cycles we could ever remember. Walter Nolan being the headliner. They've got a handful of other five-star prospects like Evan Stewart and Anthony Lucas and Gabriel Brownlow Dindy. And they were able to land Denver Harris, the five-star corner as well later on in the early signing period. And they have a quarterback who, you know, Jimbo Fisher told Josh Pate over on our signing day special on CBS Sports HQ that he believes is the number one quarterback in the country. So, you know, he was able to lock in really, you know, some positional needs, but also just beef up front, and they might not be done. That's where the record breaker kind of comes in, right? They have a little bit to go to eclipse Alabama's class for the number one class overall ever in the recruiting rankings era. But they're in it for Harold Perkins, the number five rated prospect in the country. He's a five-star linebacker from the state of Texas. They're in it for Shamar Stewart, another five-star prospect from the state of Florida, 6'6", 275-pound defensive lineman. And you know, if they're able to land those two, then, you know, this by far is the best class that's ever been assembled. And you would have to think that this could push A&M into the mix immediately to jump back in there as a viable college football playoff contender. And you know, Jimbo Fisher would kind of be back into the mix to kind of rehoist that Crystal Ball trophy.
Oh, absolutely. And look, in order to get there, obviously A&M has to beat Alabama. They have this year. And I'm not saying that's going to happen every year, but a class like this that they're putting together obviously goes a long way in making that a more common occurrence. And look, personally, I don't have an honorable mention for this one. A&M, like you said, could finish with the best class of all time. No question they take home the record breaker alert superlative. There's only one team, frankly, that can finish at the top. That brings us to an award near and dear to my heart as someone who lives about 45 minutes or so from Yankee Stadium, the Mariano Award for Best Finish. And look, you could call it in your neck of the woods on the West Coast, I guess, the Kenley Jansen Award. I don't know. Would that be appropriate? The Kenley Jansen Award, I guess.
There's a lot of inconsistency there. I mean, maybe roided up Eric Gagne Award.
Oh, there you go. That's true.
How many consecutive saves would he have? Like over 60, right?
My goodness. Yes.
This is the Best Finish Award, and it goes to the Texas Longhorns. And the reason why you have to like what the Longhorns did was, you know, just based on kind of their last minute gasps, right? Like, they didn't have the best season. They didn't have, you know, kind of the best results, but then they were able to land Quinn Ewers, the former five-star quarterback who transferred from Ohio State after his first year. Then they were very opportunistic on, you know, some other decommitments, like a Kelvin Banks, the five-star lineman who backed off his pledge from Oregon once Mario Cristobal left. They were also very opportunistic in getting, you know, a couple of in-state prospects to flip their commitments. And I think Steve Sarkisian right now has some momentum, you know, as funny as that may sound, because of the way the season went and you know, them not exceeding meeting expectations and in a way, you know, kind of looking like the Texas that we've been accustomed to seeing over the last few years. But we've known that the staff can recruit. We've known that they are going to put in as much energy as anyone. And we always wondered whether the boost would come of them heading over to the SEC. And I think, you know, a part of this also has to do with the fact that Lincoln Riley is leaving Oklahoma and is now on the West Coast. And this could be Texas's opportunity to, you know, really kind of enter a new echelon and a new stratosphere. So I really like the class that they were able to build down the stretch and, you know, to rise in the rankings the way they did and finish with a top 10 class after the early signing period has to give Texas fans a lot of hope. We're not going to say Texas is back yet, but this was a really strong step towards getting there.
Yeah, we're not going to pull a Sam Ellinger and say Texas is back just yet. Like you said, a big step, though, for the Longhorns. My honorable mention, I'm going to go with Michigan landing top 247 prospects, Keon Saab and Darius Clemens on signing day. And obviously a big year for them and Jim Harbaugh, obviously a top 10 recruiting class after the early signing period. They're, of course, headed to the college football playoff. So two left. See, you called this award the Rodman. I'm going to call it the Barkley in honor of the round amount of rebound. This is the best rebound class. My honorable mention is Penn State. They finished sixth in team rankings in 2022 after finishing 21st in 2021. But look, a team on the West Coast ultimately won the award. Who brings home the Rodman? Rodman, aka the Barkley, for the best rebound class.
We should come up with like some sort of a word that the Barkley or the, you know, you
combining know what I mean? Like Rodman, you're saying
Barkman,
Rodman,
yeah, the Barkman.
Yes, yes, we got to come up with something. That'll be for the 2023 superlatives player.
They were two completely different rebounders, though, right? I felt like Rodman Barkley was all about anticipation and energy, right?
Barkley and Rodman. I'm 25 years old. We're very much before my time. You have a much better idea. And I'm not calling you old, so don't go there. But you have a much better idea of the kind of rebounder that Charles Barkley. I know Charles Barkley from the NBA, obviously, and as a Hall of Fame, you know, one of the top 50 players of all time. The most I've seen of Charles Barkley in basketball, at least for me, is him on TNT. So I don't have much knowledge of his rebounding prowess, or I haven't seen much of his rebounding prowess. I should put it that way. But yes, 2023, I promise, we'll come up with a conjoined Barkley Rodman name.
Yeah, I like it. Well, I mean, maybe we could ask the people at this fine university. They seem to have things kind of going in terms of what, you know, their brain power is. And that would be Stanford. The Cardinal finished with the number one class in the Pac-12 and just outside the top 15 nationally, which is saying something given the fact that this program was outside the top 40 in the 21 class rankings and nowhere near the top of the Pac-12 rankings. And this is, I think, a school that has been adjusting to the accelerated recruiting cycle, right? Like this is a school that has so much to do with admissions and going through the application process. And then you have to be able to meet all the criteria and they don't offer prospects early on, let alone get early commitment. So they have adjusted the way they do things. I know David Shaw really went to bat for the early enrollment and the early admission and the early signees. And they're trying to change things around because they were being left in the dust. You know, the Cardinal for a long time, if you remember, they were in that mix to be a contender for the college football playoff. They played in a few Rose Bowls, you know, the Christian McCaffrey years, the Andrew Luck years, you know, those players had been setting a certain standard in Palo Alto. And we saw them really kind of be affected by the new recruiting rules and the way things were going, that they weren't even able to sign prospects early. So for them to really rebound and go number one in the Pac-12 now, and the headliner being David Bailey, the five-star edge rusher from Modern Day High School, one of the best defensive prospects in the country, who they beat out, you know, the likes of SC and Bama and Texas and Ohio State for, really speaks to their recruiting ability in this cycle. And also, I think you have to point to their national recruiting. It's always going to be an appealing destination for highly academic prospects, you know, the players that are choosing between a diploma or a football degree in a way, right? And I think they're able to now really key in on some prospects that they know will be valuable assets for them in the classroom and on the field. And you know, I think it says a lot that Stanford was able to finish number one in the Pac-12 and just outside the top 15, which right now is I think a commendable way for a Pac-12 school to finish.
Yeah, a great finish and a great class by Stanford. Obviously needing to rebound, like you said, from that disappointing 2021, coming in with the best class in the Pac-12 in 2022. So our last one, this is the Didn't See a Back There Award. It's an award that nobody wants to bring home. It's for the most disappointing class. For my honorable mention, I'm going to head out west. The Washington Huskies finishing 101st in the team rankings. And look, I understand new head coach, but Blair, I mean, like, yikes, you know, five signees, not 10, not 15, five signees so far in the early signing period, or they signed five now with the early signing period over. I'm sure they'll try to add to that come the more traditional signing period, but that's a tough class for new head coach Kalen DeBoer.
Yeah, just brutal for them. And, you know, if you remember, Jimmy Lake did not have any momentum going on either before he was let go and before they had to make that move. So, you know, it isn't like they had to make a move and then they lost a bunch of commitments. You know, this is a program that hasn't been recruiting at the level that they should be, given that Washington, for the most part, has been developing a lot of NFL talent. And when you look at their ratio, they're up there among those Power Five schools. There's a lot of Washington Huskies in the NFL right now. But this is a co-winner of the award, and they would go to two Tiger schools, the Clemson Tigers and the LSU Tigers. So remember, in 2021, it was a weird year. It was a lot of schools recruiting to their brand and to their name. There were no visits. There were no, kind of on-campus recruiting events. It was all virtual. There were, you know, there was a few little gatherings, but for the most part, 2021, you were recruiting to your brand. And Clemson and LSU were both in the top five in the 2021 rankings. LSU coming off of a national championship year. Clemson obviously continuing to build on consecutive college football playoff appearances. But in this cycle, they, you know, both stumbled not only on the field, but in recruiting. And it really showed. LSU outside the top 15, Clemson as well outside the top 15. So both of those schools had a drop of more than 10 spots. And if you're the LSU Tigers, if you're the Clemson Tigers, you shouldn't be outside the top 10 if you want to continue to compete and stay at the top. And obviously LSU had some difficulties with the coaching change. I think Brian Kelly arrived there a little bit too late to make a splash. And then Dabo Swinney was able to lose his two coordinators, and that didn't help things either for the Tigers. But, you know, even before that, they weren't recruiting at the level that you would expect the Clemson to be recruiting. So I'm looking for rebound years. If we're talking about mound, round, and rebound, or whatever we want to call that award, keep an eye on these two Tigers, right? The LSU Tigers and the Clemson Tigers, because they have a lot of room for growth. And after disappointing 2022 cycles, I would expect them to really put the foot on the pedal and really try to ascend back into where we've been accustomed to seeing both of these schools in the class rankings.
Absolutely. Like you said, Clemson, LSU, both early contenders for the 2023 rebound award for next cycle. But like you said, with Clemson, I mean, losing two coordinators, decommits from top 247 prospects like Jahad Campbell, Keon Saab, who I mentioned earlier. It was definitely a rough end to the cycle, or rough end to the 2022 early signing period for the Clemson Tigers and Dabo Swinney. So look, there you have it. Signing day superlatives have been given out. Good or bad, we want to congratulate all our winners. And Blair, thank you so much for joining me. You can hang up the tuxedo until next year. I appreciate having you on.
Yeah, I'm going to have to get it dry cleaned at some point next year, and we'll break it out again, my friend.
All right, that was Blair Angulo and myself handing out some signing day superlatives. Like I said, I want to congratulate all our winners. Yes, even Clemson and LSU. I hope everyone has a Merry Christmas, and to those who don't celebrate, enjoy your weekend. We will talk to you again on Monday. Going to close out 2021 with five great shows coming up here on the College Football Daily.
MTV's official Challenge podcast is back for another season.
And so are we.
I'm Tori Deal.
And I'm Anissa Ferreira.
The wait is over, guys. All Stars 4 is finally here.
And this season takes it to a whole new level. Old school legends, modern power players, and ex-lovers are all competing in Cape Town, South Africa for the prize of $300,000.
And we're going to be right here along with you fans, covering every episode on the podcast.
Listen to MTV's official Challenge podcast wherever you get your podcasts.